The 40th story, The Brave Captain's Farewell. Joshua, at first, led a united band of the Israelites to battle for the possession of the land. But gradually a change came. The different tribes went out to conquer for themselves special parts of the country and to settle in those parts. Sometimes the battles were recorded in Joshua's name, but little by little, each tribe became more and more independent. At a great gathering of the Israelites, they asked God, "Which of us shall go up first against the Canaanites?" And the tribe of Judah was appointed. The head of the tribe said to Simeon, his brother, "Come up with me into this territory and let us fight together against the Canaanites." So the tribe of Simeon went with him. Among them was a clan of the Kenites, the friendly branch of the Midianites to whom Jethro belonged. The brave old Caleb was one of this clan. He went to Joshua and said, "Thou knowest what Jehovah said unto Moses about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses sent me to spy out the land, and I brought him back word of what I felt to be true. On that day Moses promised me, saying, 'Surely the land whereon thy foot hath trodden shall be thine, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed Jehovah.' And now Jehovah has kept me alive these 45 years, and today I am 85 years old. I am as strong to go out to war as I was when Moses sent me. So give me the hill country that Moses promised to me, and I will go up and fight the sons of the giants who are there, and perhaps I shall drive them out." As brave as ever, Caleb was ready to go to the hardest place, and Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron for himself and his people. Together the tribes had many battles with the people in the south. In the rugged hills of Judah, as they were afterwards named, many a fierce and bitter contest was fought. The inhabitants were driven out from these places, and the people of Judah and Simeon settled in them, so much so that at one time the enemy said, "Their God is a God of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we." They are not so successful in the valley because down there the Canaanites had chariots of iron against which the men of Judah could not combat. But Caleb went against the children of the giants and won from them the old familiar town of Hebron, from which Jacob had started for Egypt centuries before. He gained also other places in the neighborhood. A pretty story is told of his daughter. Caleb had said, "Whoever taketh a certain city, Kiriath Sefer, shall have my daughter for a wife." His younger brother Othniel went out and took it. Perhaps he did so because he wanted to marry this girl. When she became his wife, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. Then she went herself to Caleb. As she alighted from her ass, which was the custom of an Oriental woman when about to speak to a man, her father turned and said, "What wouldest thou?" And she said, "Give me a present, father, as a blessing. Thou hast given me a home in the land of the south. Give me also springs of water." And Caleb gave her the upper and the lower springs. This is the last we hear of this old warrior. Having gained the wish of his heart, he settled down with his family and spent his last days in the place he had visited 40 years before. The tribe of Joseph was another who made an early settlement. The children of Ephraim and a part of the children of Manasseh made up this tribe. The other part of Manasseh preferred the east side of Jordan and were later settled in Gilead. Joseph's people pushed on beyond Ai. They captured Bethel through one of its citizens who betrayed it. Later, the beautiful valley of Shechem came to be their own. There it was that Joseph's bones were buried. Of course, his own tribe wished the tomb of their great ancestor to be in that part of the land which was their home. Perhaps at the burial service, the old word of Joseph, which had passed from father to son, was remembered. "God will surely visit you and bring you up out of this land, Egypt, unto the land which he promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." All this had come to pass, and his people greatly rejoiced. Joshua went into this northern country and led some of the battles himself. He belonged to the tribe of Ephraim, And as the other tribes went off to take lands for themselves, his position changed from being the captain of all to that of leader of his own tribe. The headquarters of the camp were moved from Gilgal to Shiloh near Bethel. This, as Jacob's old house of God, became again a sanctuary, a place where the northern Israelites especially loved to worship. Joshua urged them to go farther on. He kept thinking of what might be in the future, so he divided the land between the rest of the tribes, giving a place to each one, to which they migrated little by little. Each tribe or clan went, very largely, its own way to fight its own battles. It was about 100 years before the Israelites could say that Canaan was all their own. They conquered it piece by piece. But it was Joshua who had opened up the way. He had taken the tribes together into Canaan and had gained places for them from which each could go forward to take his own part. He, more than anyone else, was the conqueror of the land. To him the honor belongs of being one of 3 men to make Israel a great nation. Moses had done the first and greatest work. Joshua carried out what his master could not do, and a century later, David brought Israel to its highest place. Stories of the 100 years between Joshua and David tell of many adventures and give a picture of the Israelites when first they lived in their new home. Before Ephraim was fully settled in its place, Joshua was a very old man. He went to stay in Timnath-Serah, the little town he had taken for the home of his own family. When he knew he could not live much longer, he came before the people once more as their great leader. He sent messages to all the tribes and called for their heads, the elders and officers among them. They came together and Joshua spoke to them. He reminded them of God's help. He encouraged them to go forward to possess the land, and he urged them to keep the law which Moses had left with them. In a farewell to the people gathered at Shechem, Joshua reminded them of 5 great things that had happened: the call of Abraham, the deliverance from the land of bondage, the defeat of the Amorites on the east side of Jordan, a passage across the Jordan, and the settlement in Canaan. He urged the people to obey and serve the true God and said to them, "Be careful not to worship the false gods which your fathers worshipped in the wilderness and in Egypt, nor to turn to the gods of the Amorites and the Canaanites in whose land ye dwell." Joshua had seen how many of his people were settling down to do as the Canaanites did. When at first they took possession of the land, they put the inhabitants to death. But afterwards, they simply overcame those who opposed them and took up part of the district. Often the 2 sets of people settled down side by side. First one and then the other would get the upper hand. At other times they made friendly agreements. A covenant would be entered into between the 2 parties and they began to marry into each other's families. The greater part of the Israelites found it hard to keep only to the worship of God and to the religion Moses had taught them. Only a very few of them were like Moses and Joshua. They saw every day the images of many gods that the Canaanites worshipped all around them. It was easier and pleasanter to do in many things what the Canaanites did. They did not like to be peculiar. Joshua knew all this. He had seen the images they had in their homes. He knew what they were doing and what they were likely to do more and more. So for the last time he said, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah." The people were roused. They remembered and they were ashamed. They answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake Jehovah to serve other gods. For Jehovah our God brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and did those great signs in our sight, and kept us all in the way we went. And now he has driven out before us all the peoples that dwell in the land. Therefore we also will serve Jehovah, for he is our God." And Joshua said, "Ye cannot serve Jehovah and turn again to other gods. He will not forgive you." Again the people solemnly promised and said, Nay, but we will serve Jehovah. Then Joshua said, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen to serve Jehovah. He made a covenant and took a great stone and set it up under the oak by which he stood. This, said he, shall be a witness against you, lest ye forget your God. He who had been their leader then sent the people away and went back to his own home, and there he died. And they buried him in the hill country of Ephraim. He had been the fearless soldier all through his life, straightforward and simple and full of trust in God's help. Joshua always thought of the honor of God, or that of his master Moses, more than of his own. He was like a great general who did not shrink, who was firm and quick to decide. He was severe and cruel to his enemies, but all people were severe and cruel when they were fighting in that day. And he believed that he was obeying God in this way. Joshua was willing to let others carry on his work and quietly gave up being the leader. As a commander, he showed his power, but in all he did, he remembered that he himself was under a great leader.